ritual. And I will proceed systematically to destroy your reputation and your practice and your career in New York State, Henry. Which you know I can do.
Roy, you have been seeing me since 1958. Apart from the facelifts, I've treated you for everything, from syphilis...
From a whore in Dallas.
From syphilis to venereal warts in your rectum, which you may have gotten from a whore in Dallas, but it wasn't a female whore.
So, say it.
Roy Cohn, you have had sex with men many, many times, Roy. I'm one of them, or any number of them, has made you very sick. You have AIDS.
AIDS. Your problem, Henry, is that you are hung up on words, on labels, that you believe they mean what they seem to mean. AIDS, homosexual, gay, lesbian. You think these are names that tell you who someone sleeps with, but they don't tell you that.
No?
No. Like all labels, they tell you one thing and one thing only. Where does an individual so identified fit in the food chain, in the pecking order? Not ideology or sexual taste, but something much simpler. Clout. Not who I fuck or who fucks me. But who will pick up the phone when I call, who owes me favors? This is what a label refers to. Now, to someone who does not understand this, homosexual is what I am because I have sex with men. But really, this is wrong. Homosexuals are not men who sleep with other men. Homosexuals are men who, in 15 years of trying, cannot pass a pissant anti-discrimination bill through city council. Homosexuals are men who know nobody, and who nobody knows, who have zero clout. Does this sound like me, Henry?
No.
No. I have clout. A lot. I can pick up this phone, punch 15 numbers... And you know who will be on the other end in under 5 minutes, Henry?
The president.
Even better, Henry. His wife.
I'm impressed.
I don't want you to be impressed. I want you to understand. This is not sophistry. And this is not hypocrisy. This is reality. I have sex with men. But unlike nearly every other man of whom this is true, I bring the guy I'm screwing to the White House, and President Reagan smiles at us and shakes his hand, because what I am is defined entirely by who I am. Roy Cohn is not a homosexual. Roy Cohn is a heterosexual man, Henry, who fucks around with guys.
Okay, Roy.
And what is my diagnosis, Henry?
You have AIDS, Roy.
No, Henry. No. AIDS is what homosexuals have. I have liver cancer.
Well, whatever the fuck you have, Roy, it's very serious and I haven't got a damn thing for you. The NIH in Bethesda has a new drug called AZT with a 2-year waiting list that not even I can get you onto. So get on the phone, Roy, and dial the 15 numbers and tell the First Lady you need in on an experimental treatment for liver cancer. Because you can call it any damn thing you want, Roy, but what it boils down to is very bad news.
vitro. December 1985. Scene 1. The first week in December. Night. Pryor in his underwear, alone on the floor in the hallway outside his bedroom. He is much worse.
Lewis. Lewis. Please wake up, oh God. I think something horrible is wrong with me. I can't breathe.
I'm calling the ambulance.
No, wait.
Wait, what? Are you fucking crazy? Oh, God, you're on fire. Your head is on fire.
It hurts.
Well, I'm calling the ambulance.
No, I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't want to go to the hospital. Just please let me lie here.
No, God, Pryor, come on, stand up.
Don't touch my leg.
We have to. God, this is so crazy.
I'll be okay. If I just lie here, Lou. Really, really. If I could only sleep a little. Louis.
Hello, ambulance.
No.
Hello,
don't call. Don't call. You'll send me there and I won't come back. Please.
No, I mean, he can't breathe his temperature.
Louis, I'm begging. Baby, please. Louis!
You shut the fuck up! I
have to go to the bathroom. Wait. Wait. No, God.
Pryor, they'll be... Oh, my God.
No, I'm sorry.
What?
I had an accident.
God, this is blood.
Maybe you shouldn't touch it. May I?
God, help me. I can't.
Scene 2. Night. Harper at home, sitting on the floor, all alone, with no lights on. We can barely see her. Joe enters, but he doesn't turn on the lights.
Why are you sitting in the dark? Turn on the light.
No! I heard the sounds in the bedroom again. I know someone was in there.
No one was.
Maybe actually in the bed, under the covers with a knife. Oh boy, Joe... I'm thinking of going away, by which I mean, I think I'm going off again. You know what I mean?
Please don't stay. We can fix it. I pray for that. This is my fault. But I can correct it. You have to try, too.
Joe walks to a floor lamp and switches on the light, then sits next to her on the floor. As soon as he sits, Harper stands, goes to the lamp, turns off the light, and then returns to sit beside him. They sit quietly, close together, in the dark.
When you pray, what do you pray for?
I pray for God to crush me. Break me up into little pieces and start all over again.
Oh, please, don't pray for that.
I had a book of Bible stories when I was a kid. There was a picture I'd look at 20 times every day. Jacob wrestles with the angel. I don't really remember the story or why the wrestling, just the picture. Jacob is young and very strong. The angel is a beautiful man. With golden hair and wings, of course. I still dream about it. Many nights it's me in that struggle, fierce and unfair. The angel's not human, and it holds nothing back, so how could anyone human win? What kind of a fight is that? It's not just... Losing means your soul thrown down in the dust, your heart torn out from God's. But you can't not lose.
In the whole entire world, you are the only person I love or have ever loved. And I love you terribly. Terribly. That's what's so awfully, irreducibly real. I can make up anything, but I can't dream that away.
Are you really gonna have a baby?
It's my time, and there's no blood. I don't really know. I suppose it wouldn't be a great thing. Maybe I'm just not bleeding because I take too many pills. Maybe I'll give birth to a pill. That'd give new meaning to pill popping, huh? I think you should go to Washington. Alone. Change, like you said.
I'm not gonna leave you, Harper.
Well, maybe not. But I'm gonna leave you.
Scene 3. 1 a.m. the next morning. A hospital room. Pryor is in a bed, oxygen mask on his face, IV tubes draining bags of fluids into his veins. Emily, a nurse, finishes checking the tubes, the machines. Lewis watches Emily. He avoids looking at Pryor.
He'll be all right now.
No, he won't.
No, I guess not. I gave him something that makes him sleep.
A deep sleep?
Orbiting the moons of Jupiter.
It's a good place to be.
Any place better than here, huh? Are you his,
Yes, I'm his,
This must be hell for you.
It is. Hell. The afterlife, which is not at all like a rainy afternoon in March, by the way, Pryor. It's a lot more vivid than I'd expected. Dead leaves, but the crunchy kind. Sharp, dry air. The kind of long, luxurious, dying feeling that breaks your heart.
Yeah, well, we all get to break our hearts on this one. He seems like a nice guy. Cute.
Ugh, not like this. Was, I don't, whatever.
Weird name, Pryor Walter? Like, the Walter before this one?
Well, there's lots of Walters before this one. And Pryor is an old, old family name in an old, old family. The Walters go back to the Mayflower and beyond, back to the Norman conquests. He says there's a Pryor Walter stitched into the Baya tapestry.
Is that impressive?
Well, it's old. Very old, which in some circles equals impressive.
Not in my circle. What's the name in a tapestry?
The Baya tapestry. It's embroidered by Lorraine Mathilde.
I'll tell my mother. She embroiders. Drives me nuts.
Manual therapy for anxious hands.
Maybe you should try it.
Now, Mathilde stitched while William the Conqueror went off to war. She was capable of what's more than loyalty. Devotion. She waited for him. She stitched for years. And if he had come back broken and defeated from war, she would have loved him even more. And if he had returned mutilated, ugly, full of infection and horror, she would still have loved him, fed by pity, by a sharing of pain. And she would love him even more and even more. And she would never have prayed to God, please, let him die. If he can't return to me whole and healthy and able to live a normal life, if he had died, she would have buried her heart with him. So what the fuck is the matter with me? Ugh. Will he sleep through the night?
At least.
I'm going.
It's 1 a.m. Where do you have to go at...
Well, I know what time it is. A walk, night air. It's good for the park.
Be careful.
Yeah. Danger. Tell him that if he wakes up and you're still on, tell him goodbye. Tell him I had to go. Thank you.
Scene 4. Same night. Split scene. Joe and Roy sitting at the bar in an elegant restaurant. Lewis and a man dressed in leather in the Ramble in Central Park. Roy is in a tuxedo, bow tie loosened. He's been drinking heavily, a rye and soda before him. Joe's dressed casually, nursing a tumbler of club soda. Lewis and the man are eyeing each other, alternating interest and indifference.
The pills were something she started when she miscarried, or... No, she took some before that. She had a really bad time at home when she was a kid. Her home was really bad. I think a lot of drinking and physical stuff. She doesn't talk about that. Instead, she talks about the sky falling down, people with knives hiding under sofas, monsters, Mormons. Everybody thinks Mormons don't come from homes like that. We aren't supposed to behave in that way, but we do. It's not lying or being two-faced. Everybody tries very hard to live up to God's strictures, which are very,
strict.
I shouldn't be bothering you with this.
No, please. Heart to heart. Want another? What is that, seltzer?
The failure to measure up hits people very hard. From such a strong desire to be good, they feel very far from goodness when they fail. What scares me is that maybe what I really love in her is the part of her that's farthest from the light, from God's love. Maybe I was drawn to that in the first place, and I'm keeping it alive because I need it.
Why would you need it?
There are things... I don't know how well we know ourselves. I mean, what if... I know I married her because I loved it that she was always wrong. Always doing something wrong. Like one step out of step in Salt Lake City, that stands out. I never stood out on the outside. But inside, it was hard for me to pass.
Pass?
Yeah.
Pass as what?
Oh. Well, as someone cheerful and strong, those who love God with an open heart, unclouded by secrets and struggles, are cheerful. God's easy, simple love for them shows in how strong and happy they are. The saints.
But you had secrets? Secret struggles?
I wanted to be one of the elect, one of the blessed. You feel you ought to be. That the blemishes are yours by choice, which of course they aren't. Harper's sorrow, that really deep sorrow, she didn't choose that, but it's there.
You didn't put it there?
No.
You sound like you think you did.
I am responsible for her.
Because she's your wife.
That, and I do love her.
Whatever, she's your wife, and so there are obligations to her, but also to yourself.
She'd fall apart in Washington.
Then let her stay here.
She'll fall apart if I leave her.
Then bring her to Washington.
I just can't, Roy. She needs me.
Listen, Joe. I'm the best divorce lawyer in the business.
Can't Washington wait?
You do what you need to do, Joe. What you need. You. Let her life go where it wants to go. You'll both be better for that. Somebody should get what they want.
What do you want?
I want you to fuck me, hurt me, make me bleed.
I want to.
Yeah?
I want to hurt you.
Fuck me.
Yeah?
Hard.
Yeah? You've been a bad boy.
Very bad.
You need to be punished, boy.
Yes, I do.
Yes, what? Yes, what? Boy.
Oh. Yes, sir.
I want you to take me to your place, boy.
No, what? I can't do that.
No, what?
No, sir, I can't do... I don't live alone, sir.
Your lover know you're out with a man tonight, boy?
No, sir, he... My lover doesn't know.
Your lover knows.
Let's change the subject, okay? Can we go to your place?
I live with my parents.
Oh.
Everyone who makes it in this world makes it because somebody older and more powerful takes an interest. The most precious asset in life, I think, is the ability to be a good son. You have that, Joe. Somebody who can be a good son to a father, who pushes them farther than they would otherwise go. I've had many fathers. I owe my life to them. Powerful, powerful men. Walter Winchell, Edgar Hoover, Joe McCarthy, most of all. He valued me because I am a good lawyer. But he loved me because I was and am a good son. He was a very difficult man, very guarded and cagey. I brought out something tender in him. He would have died for me, and me for him. Does this embarrass you?
I had a hard time with my father.
Well, sometimes that's the way. Then you have to find other fathers, substitutes. I don't know. The father-son relationship is central to life. Women are for birth, beginning, but the father is continuance. The son offers the father his life as a vessel for carrying forth his father's dream. Your father's living.
Dead.
He was, what, a difficult man?
He was in the military. He could be very unfair and cold.
But he loved you.
I don't know.
No, Joe. He did. I know this. Sometimes a father's love has to be very, very hard, unfair even, cold, to make his son grow strong in a world like this. This isn't a good world.
Here, then.
Do you have a rubber?
I don't use rubbers.
Well, you should. Here.
I don't use them.
Oh, forget it, then.
Nah, wait. Put it on me, boy.
Oh, forget it. I have to get back. Home. God, I must be going crazy.
Oh, come on, please. He won't find out.
Oh, it's cold. It's too cold.
It's never too cold. Let me warm you up. Please.
Lewis puts the condom on the man's cock, and they begin to fuck.
Oh, God. Relax.
No, not a chance.
More fucking. It gets rough. Lewis falls on his hands and knees. Then the man stops.
What?
I think it must... It broke or it slipped off. You didn't put it on, right? You want me to keep going? Pull out or should I?
Oh, keep going. Infect me. I don't care. I don't care.
The man pulls out.
Look, I'm sorry, but I think I want to go.
Yeah? Give my best to Mom and Dad.
The man slaps him.
Ow!
It was a joke.
The man leaves.
How long have we known each other?
Since 1980.
Right. A long time. I feel close to you, Joe. Do I advise you well?
You've been an incredible friend, Rory.
I want to be family. Familia, as my Italian friends call it. La familia. A lovely word. It's important for me to help you, like I was helped.
I owe practically everything to you, Roy.
I'm dying, Joe. Cancer.
Oh, my God.
Please, let me finish. Few people know this, and I'm telling you this only because I'm not afraid of death. What can death bring that I haven't faced? I've lived. Life is the worst. Listen to me. I'm a philosopher. Joe, you must do this. You must. Love, that's a trap. Responsibility, that's a trap too. Like a father to a son, I tell you this. Life is full of horror. Nobody escapes, nobody, save yourself. Whatever pulls on you, whatever needs from you, threatens you, don't be afraid. People are so afraid. Don't be afraid to live in the raw wind, naked, alone. Learn at least this, what you are capable of. Let nothing stand in your way.
Scene 5. Several days later, Pryor and Belize in Pryor's hospital room. Pryor is very sick, but improving. Belize has just arrived, stopping on his way to work to check up on Pryor with little time to spare.
Oh, Miss Thing.
Ma chérie Bichette.
Stella.
Stella for star. Let me see. You look like shit. Well, yes, indeed, you do. Come, la mère.
Merci.
Not to despair, Belrive. Lookie.
Taking a little plastic bottle from his bag.
Magic goop.
Belize hands the bottle to Pryor, who opens it and sniffs it suspiciously, as Belize looks over the IV bags feeding meds to Pryor.
What kind of crap is that?
Beats me. Let's rub it on your poor blistered body, see what it does.
This is not Western medicine, this bottle.
Voodoo cream from the botanica around the block.
And you, a registered nurse.
Belize takes the bottle back and sniffs it.
Beeswax and cheap perfume cut with Jergens lotion. Full of good vibes and love from some little black Cubano wetch in Miami.
He pours some in his hands, ready to give Pryor a back rub.
No. Get that trash away from me. I am immune suppressed.
I am a health professional. I know what I'm doing.
Pryor hesitates, then reluctantly offers his back to be rubbed. Belize gets on the bed and rubs, gently.
It stinks. Any word from Lewis? Gone.
He'll be back. I know the type. Likes to keep a girl on edge.
It's been...
How long?
I don't remember.
How long have you been here?
I don't remember. I don't give a fuck. I want Lewis. I want my fucking boyfriend. Where the fuck is he? I'm dying. Where is Lewis? This is a very strange drug, this drug. Emotional ability for starters.
Save a tab or two for me.
Oh, no, not this drug. Ce n'est pas pour la joie Noël la bonne année. This drug, she is serious, poisonous chemistry, ma pauvre Bichette. And not just disorienting. I hear things. Voices.
Voices?
A voice.
Saying what?
I'm not supposed to tell.
You better tell the doctor or I will.
Oh, no, don't. Please, I want the voice. It's wonderful. It's all that's keeping me alive. I don't want to talk to some intern about it. You know what happens when I hear it? I get hard.
Oh, man.
Comme ça. And you know I am slow to rise.
My jaw aches at the memory.
And would you deny me this little solace? Betray my concupiscence to Florence Nightingale's stormtroopers?
Perish the thought, my bebe.
They change the drug just to spoil the fun.
You and your boner can depend on me.
Oh, je t'adore, ma belle nègre.
All this girl talk shit is politically incorrect, you know. We should have dropped it back when we gave up drag.
I'm sick. I get to be politically incorrect if it makes me feel better.
You sound like Lou. Well, at least I had the satisfaction of knowing he's in anguish somewhere. Oh, I loved his anguish. Watching him stick his head up his asshole and eat his guts out over some relatively minor moral conundrum, it was the best show in town. But Mother warned me. If they get overwhelmed by the little things...
There'll be belly a busville when something big comes along.
Mother warned me.
And they do come along.
But I didn't listen.
No. Men are beasts.
The absolute lowest.
Oh, I have to go. If I want to spend my whole lonely life looking after white people, I can get underpaid to do it.
You're just a Christian martyr.
Whatever happens, baby, I will be here for you.
Je t'aime.
Je t'aime. And don't go crazy on me, girlfriend. I already got enough crazy queens for one lifetime. For two, I can't be bothering with dementia.
I promise.
Touching him with his forefinger, softly, doing E.T.
Ouch. Indeed.
Why'd they have to pick on you? And eat more, girlfriend. Mwah. You really do look like shit.
He's gone. Are you still...
I can't stay. I will return.
Are you one of those follow me to the other side voices?
No. I am no night bird. I am a messenger.
Well, you have a beautiful voice. It sounds like a viola, like a perfectly tuned, tight string. Balance, the truth, stay with me.
Not now. Soon I will return. I will reveal myself to you. I am glorious, glorious. My heart, my countenance, and my message. You must prepare.
For what? I don't want to...
No death, no. A marvelous work and a wonder we undertake. An edifice awry, we sink, plumb, and straighten. A great lie, we abolish. A great error, correct. With the rule, sword, and broom of truth.
What are you talking about?
I am on my way. When I am manifest, our work begins. Prepare for the parting of the air, the breath, the ascent. Glory to...
Scene 6. Several days later, Martin, a relentlessly upbeat official in the Reagan administration's Justice Department, is at a table with Roy and Joe in a fancy Manhattan restaurant.
It's a revolution in Washington, Joe. We have a new agenda and finally a real leader. They got back the Senate, but we have the courts. By the 90s, the Supreme Court will be block-solid Republican appointees, and the federal bench, Republican judges like landmines everywhere they turn. Affirmative action, take it to court, boom, landmine. And we'll get our way on just about everything. Abortion, defense, Central America, family values, alive investment climate. We've got the White House locked till the year 2000 and beyond. A permanent fix on the Oval Office? It's possible. By 92, we'll get the Senate back, and in 10 years, the South is going to give us the House. It's really the end of liberalism, the end of New Deal socialism, the end of ipso facto secular humanism, the dawning of a genuinely American political personality. Modeled on Ronald Wilson Reagan.
It sounds great, Mr. Heller.
Martin. And justice is the hub, especially since Ed Meese took over. He doesn't specialize in fine points of the law. He's a flatfoot, a cop. He reminds me of Teddy Roosevelt.
I can't wait to meet him.
Well, too bad, Joe. He's been dead for 60 years. Teddy Roosevelt, you said you wanted to... It's a little joke. Oh, it reminds me of the story about the time...
Aw, shut the fuck up, Martin. You see that? Mr. Heller here is one of the mighty Joseph in D.C. He sitteth on the right hand of the man who sitteth on the right hand of the man. And yet I can say, shut the fuck up, and he will take no offense. Loyalty.
This man, Joe, is a saint of the right.
I know, Mr. Heller.
You see what I mean, Martin. He's special, right?
Oh, don't embarrass him, Roy.
Gravity, decency, smarts. His strength is as the strength of 10 because his heart is pure. And he's a Roy boy, 100%.
We're on the move, Joe, on the move.
Mr. Heller, I...
We can't wait any longer for an answer.
Oh, I...
Joe's a married man, Martin.
Oh.
With a wife. She doesn't care to go to D.C., and so Joe cannot go. And keeps us dangling. We've seen that kind of thing before, haven't we? These men and their wives.
Oh, yes, beware.
I can't really discuss this under...
Then don't discuss. Say yes, Joe.
Now.
Say yes, I will.
Now. Now. I'll hold my breath, do you do? I'm turning blue waiting. Now, goddammit!
Roy, calm down. It's not...
Ha! Fuck it.
Roy takes a letter from his jacket pocket, hands it to Joe.
Read. Came today.
Roy, this is... Roy, this is terrible.
You're telling me. A letter from the New York State Bar Association, Martin. They're going to try and disbar me.
Oh, my.
Why?
Why, Martin?
Revenge.
The whole establishment, their little rules. Because I know no rules. Because I don't see the law as a dead and arbitrary collection of antiquated dictums. Thou shalt not. Because I know the law's a pliable, breathing, sweating organ.
Because he borrowed $500,000 from one of his clients.
Yeah, well, there's that.
And he forgot to return it.
Roy, that's... You borrowed money from a client?
I'm deeply ashamed.
Roy, you know how much I admire you, and, well, I mean, I know you have unorthodox ways, but I'm sure you only did what at the time you thought you needed to do, and I have faith that...
Not so damp. Please, I'll deny it was a loan. She's got no paperwork. Can't prove a fucking thing.
Roy... I really appreciate your telling me this, and I'll do whatever I can to help.
I'll tell you what you can do. I'm about to be tried, Joe, by a jury that is not a jury of my peers. The Disbarment Committee. Genteel, gentleman, Brahmin lawyers. Country club men. I offend them. To these men, I'm what, Martin? Some sort of filthy little Jewish troll?
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to...
Oh, well, I would. Very fancy lawyers, these disbarment committee lawyers. Fancy lawyers with fancy corporate clients and complicated cases. Antitrust suits, deregulation, environmental control. Complex cases like these need Justice Department cooperation like flowers need the sun. Wouldn't you say that's an accurate assessment, Martin?
I'm not here, Roy. I'm not hearing any of this.
No. Of course not. Without the light of the sun, Joe, these cases and the fancy lawyers who represent them will wither and die. A well-placed friend, someone in the Justice Department, say, can turn off the sun, cast a deep shadow on my behalf, make them shiver in the cold. If they overstep, they would fear that.
Roy... I don't understand.
You do.
You're not asking me to...
Shh, careful.
Even if I said yes to the job, it would be illegal to interfere with the hearings. It's unethical. No, I can't.
Unethical. Would you excuse us, Martin?
Excuse you?
Take a walk, Martin, for real.
Martin hesitates, then stands. He shoots Joe a quick, you just stepped in it look, then leaves.
Unethical. Are you trying to embarrass me in front of my friend?
Well, it is unethical. I can't.
Boy, you really are something. What the fuck do you think this is, Sunday school?
No, but Roy, this is...
This is gastric juices churning. This is enzymes and acids. This is intestinal. It's what this is. Bowel movement and blood red meat. This stinks. This is politics, Joe. The game of being alive. And you think you're what? Above that, above alive is what? Dead. In the clouds you're on Earth, goddammit. Plant a foot. Stay a while. I'm sick. They smell I'm weak. They want blood this time. I must have eyes and justice. In justice, you will protect me.
Why can't Mr. Heller...
Grow up, Joe. The administration can't get involved.
But I'd be a part of the administration, the same as him.
Not the same. Martin's Ed's man, and Ed's Reagan's man, so Martin's Reagan's man. And you're mine.
He holds up the letter.
This... will never be. Understand me? I'm gonna be a lawyer, Joe. I'm gonna be a lawyer, Joe. I'm gonna be a goddamn motherfucking legally licensed member of the bar lawyer, just like my daddy was, till my last bitter day on earth, Joseph. Until the day I die. Ah, Martin's back.
So, are we agreed?
Joe?
I will think about it. I will.
Huh.
It's the fear of what comes after the doing that makes the doing hard to do.
Amen.
But you can almost always live with the consequences.
Scene 7. That afternoon. On the granite steps outside the Hall of Justice, Brooklyn. It is cold and sunny. A soubrette wagon is selling hot dogs. Lewis, in a shabby overcoat, is sitting on the steps, contemplatively eating one. Joe enters with 3 hot dogs and a can of Coke.
Can I...
Oh, sure. Sure. It's crazy cold sun.
You have to make the best of it. How's your friend?
He's worse. My friend is worse.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well... Thanks for asking. That's nice. You're nice. I can't believe you voted for Reagan.
I hope he gets better.
Reagan?
Your friend.
He won't. Neither will Reagan.
Let's not talk politics, okay?
I'm sorry, are you eating 3 of those?
Well, I'm hungry.
Well, they're really terrible for you. They're full of rat poo and beetle legs and wood shavings and shit. Iridium, I think. Something toxic.
You're eating one?
Yeah, well, the shape. I can't help myself. Plus... I'm trying to commit suicide. What's your excuse?
I don't have an excuse. I just have Pepto-Bismol.
Ugh. Oh, my God!
Yeah, I know. But then I wash it down with Coke.
He does this. Lewis mimes barfing in Joe's lap. Joe pushes Lewis's head away.
Are you always like this?
I've been worrying a lot about his kids.
Whose?
Reagan's. Maureen and Mike and little orphan Patty and Miss Ron Reagan Jr., the, you should pardon the expression, heterosexual.
Ron Reagan Jr. is not... You shouldn't make these assumptions about people. How do you know about him, what he is? You don't know.
Well, darling, he never sucked my cock, but...
Look, if you're going to get vulgar...
No, come on, no, really. I mean, what is it like to be the child of the zeitgeist? You know, to have the American animus as your dad? Because it's not really a family, the Reagans. I read people. You know, there aren't any connections there. No love. They don't ever even speak to each other except through their agents. So what is it like to be Reagan's kid? Inquiring minds want to know.
You can't believe everything.
But see, I think that we all know what that's like nowadays. No connections, no responsibilities. All of us just... Like... We're falling through the cracks that separate what we owe to ourselves and what we owe to love.
You just... Whatever you feel like saying or doing, you don't care. You just do it.
Do what?
It. Whatever. Whatever it is you want to do.
Are you trying to tell me something?
They look at each other. Then Joe looks away.
No, I'm just observing that...
You're impulsive.
Yes, I mean, it must be scary.
Land of the free, home of the brave, call me irresponsible.
It's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, well, freedom is heartless, too.
Oh, you're not heartless.
You don't know. Finish your weenie.
Yesterday was Sunday, but I've been a little unfocused recently, and I thought it was Monday, so I came here like I was going to work, and the whole place was empty. And at first, I couldn't figure out why. And I had this moment of incredible fear. And also, it just flashed through my mind, the whole Hall of Justice. It's empty, it's deserted, it's gone out of business forever. The people who make it run have up and abandoned it.
Oh, creepy.
Well, yes, but I felt that I was going to scream. Not because it was creepy, but because the emptiness felt so fast. And, well... Good. A happy scream. I just wondered what a thing it would be if overnight everything you owed anything to, justice or love, had really gone away. Free. It would be heartless terror. Yes. Terrible. And very great. To shed your skin. Every old skin, one by one, and walk away unencumbered into the morning. I can't go in there today.
Then don't.
I can't go in. I need...
He takes a swig of Pepto-Bismol.
I can't be this anymore. I need a change. I should just...
You want some company for whatever? Sometimes, even when it scares you to death, you have to be willing to break the law. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I moved out. That I moved out on my... I haven't been sleeping well.
Me neither.
Louis licks his napkin and goes up to Joe. He dabs at Joe's upper lip.
I got antacid mustache.
Louis starts to walk away, then stops and stares at the courthouse.
Maybe the court won't convene. Ever again. Maybe we are free to do whatever. Children of the new morning, criminal minds, selfish and greedy and loveless and blind. Reagan's children. You're scared. So am I. Everybody is in the land of the free. God help us all.
Scene 8. Late that night. Joe at a payphone calling Hannah at home in Salt Lake City. Joe's a little drunk.
Mom?
Joe!
Hi.
You're calling from the street. It must be 4 in the morning. What's happened?
Nothing.
It's Harper. Is Harper... Joe.
Yeah, hi. No, Harper's fine. Well, no, she's not fine. How are you, Mom?
What's happened?
I just wanted to talk to you. I wanted to try something out on you.
Joe, you haven't. Have you been drinking, Joe?
Yes, ma'am. I'm drunk.
That isn't like you.
No. I mean, who's to say?
Why are you out on the street at 4 a.m. in that crazy city? It's dangerous.
Actually, Mom, I'm not on the street. I'm near the boathouse in the park.
What park?
Central Park.
Central Park? Oh, my Lord. What on earth are you doing in Central Park at this time of night? Are you... Joe, I think you ought to go home right now. Call me from home. Joe.
I come here to watch, Mom, sometimes. Just to watch.
Watch what? What's there to watch at 4 in the
morning? Mom, did Dad love me?
What?
Did he?
You ought to go home and call from there.
Answer.
Oh, now, really, this is maudlin. I don't like this conversation.
Yeah, well, it gets worse from here on.
Joe?
Mom. Mama. I'm a homosexual, Mama. Boy, did that come out awkward. Hello? Hello? I'm a homosexual. Please, Mama. Say something.
You're old enough to understand that your father didn't love you without being ridiculous about it.
What?
You're ridiculous. You're being ridiculous.
I... What?
You really ought to go home now to your wife. I need to go to bed. This phone call... We will just forget this phone call.
Mom!
No more talk. Tonight, this... Drinking is a sin. A sin. I raised you better than that.
Scene 9. The following morning, early. Split scene. Harper and Joe at home. Louis and Pryor in Pryor's hospital room. Joe and Louis have each just entered.
Oh, God. Home. The moment of truth has arrived.
Harper!
I'm gonna move out.
The fuck you are?
Harper, please listen. I still love you very much. You're still my best buddy. I'm not gonna leave you.
No, I don't like the sound of this. I'm leaving.
I'm leaving. I already have.
Please listen. Stay. This is really hard. We have to talk.
We are talking, aren't we? Now please shut up, okay?
Bastard! Sneaking off while I'm flat out here, that's low. If I could get up now, I'd beat the holy shit out of you.
Did you take pills? How many?
No pills. Bad for the...
You aren't pregnant. I called your gynecologist.
I'm seeing a new gynecologist.
You have no right to do this.
Oh, but that's ridiculous.
No right. It's criminal.
Forget about that. Just listen. You want the truth? This is the truth. I knew this when I married you. I've known this for, I guess, as long as I've known anything. But I don't know. I thought maybe with enough effort and will, I could change myself. But I can't.
Criminal!
Well, there ought to be a law.
There is a law. You'll see.
I'm losing ground here. I go walking. You want to know where I walk? I go to the park or up and down 53rd Street or places where... And I keep swearing I won't go walking again, but I just can't.
I need some privacy.
That's new.
Everything's new, Pryor.
I try to tighten my heart into a knot, a snarl. I try to learn to live dead, just numb. But then I see someone I want, and it's like a nail. It's like a hot spike right through my chest, and I know I'm losing.
Apartment too small for three. Lewis and Pryor comfy, but not Lewis and Pryor and Pryor's disease.
Well, something like that. I won't be judged by you. This isn't a crime. It's just the inevitable consequence of people who run out of... whose limitations...
Bang, bang, bang. The court will come to order.
Let's talk practicalities. Schedules. I'll come over if you want. I'll spend nights with you when I can.
Has the jury reached a verdict?
I am doing the best I can.
Pathetic. Who cares?
My whole life has conspired to bring me to this place, and I can't despise my whole life. I think I believed when I met you I could save you. You, at least, if not myself, but... I don't have any sexual feelings for you, Harper. And I don't think I ever did.
I think you should go.
Where?
Washington. Doesn't matter.
What are you talking about?
Without me. Without me, Joe. Isn't that what you want to hear?
Yes.
You can love someone and fail them. You can love someone and not be able to...
Oh, you can, theoretically, yes. A person can. Maybe an editorial you can love, Lewis, but not you, specifically you. I don't know. I think you are excluded from that general category.
You were going to save me, but the whole time you were spinning a lie. I just don't understand that.
A person could theoretically love, and maybe many do, but we both know now you can't.
I do.
You can't even say it.
I love you, Pryor.
I repeat, who cares?
This is so scary. I want this to stop, to go back.
We have reached a verdict, Your Honor. This man's heart is deficient. He loves, but his love is worth nothing.
Harper.
Mr. Lies, I want to get away from here, far away, right now, before he starts talking again. Please, please.
As long as I've known you, Harper, you have been afraid of men hiding under the sofa. Men with knives.
I'm dying. You stupid fuck. Do you know what that is? Love? Do you know what love means?